Well, we're going to be in Joshua 1. Does everybody have a class material that says Joshua 1 on it? Okay. Anybody need one? Okay, we're good. Good deal. I'm just checking because I was running short and we had to make some more copies real quick and put in the back. So. Now, there was, if you have one of the original copies that I had set out, I started just a couple of markings in Joshua 1:1 just for an example, and I had printed it off from my colored copy, and that didn't work too well in black and white, so it kind of covered some of the wording. So I have changed that with these new copies that are in the back, so if y'all want to change that out, feel free to grab another one after class or what. And basically, I just removed the coloring and just put boxes around one area that we were going to color in one color, and I underlined the other just to be a little helpful about that. So our last classes, we looked at, we were just looking at our kind of an overview and an introduction of Joshua. And in this class, we're going to start Joshua 1. Once I get some eyeballs on. I said in one of our other classes, so basically, we're going to cover these 24 chapters, and it's going to cover about 8 classes, counting this one as class 1. I'm excluding the introduction, but that's going to cover about 8 classes. But as far as class time, it might cover 9 to 10 class periods. So we'll just see how that works out. But that's okay. We allotted for that with time, so we should be okay with that. And so let's get started with Joshua 1. I put on there that, as far as in our introduction, we saw that Moses would not be allowed to enter into the land. And God tells him that. So he lets Moses and Aaron see the land, but they're not going to be allowed to enter into it. So who would lead them to this? Who would help fulfill this, this promise to lead them into the promised land? So then we have where Joshua starts. Now, before we look at Joshua 1:1, just put up there that we're going to see 3 things happening in this chapter. So basically, we can divide it into 3 divisions, if you will. In verses 1-9, we're going to see God's charge to Joshua. And then in verses 10-15, we're going to see Joshua's charge to the people. And then in the last verses, 16-18, we're going to see how the people respond or their pledge. So we'll look at that now. In verse 1:1, Joshua 1:1, it starts off and says, Now it came about after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. So this is a kind of a time reference. We see this is starting to happen after Moses is gone. And we see that something is happening here. The Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant, saying. And that's some of what we're going to look at here in a minute on these first 3 verses. So he spoke to him, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, verse 2, or because of this, he tells him, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all the people, that is, the sons of Israel. So he says, get up, arise, and cross the Jordan to the land which I am giving them. So let's look at these 3 verses that we were talking about marking. I just put this on here. There's a lot we can do with marking. And I mainly just wanted to bring something out on these first three verses. We can do more than, I mean, you can do time references. I do that when I mark. I've got stuff in one color that might reference time. Might have things that reference, you know, who it's talking to or where, the land, or different things like that. But on this one, I'm attempting to bring something out. And as you mark it, you might have marked it a little different than I did. That's okay. I think we can still kind of see something that's being brought out in these first couple of verses. So I asked that in the first three verses to mark some things that might be helpful. Mark the words about the Lord in one color. And that's the one that in that first handout, if you have that one, then it's going to be kind of gray looking. But we want to mark the colors that refer to him and the pronouns referring to him. And then in another color, which now in my new copies I underlined, we're going to mark who he's speaking to and the pronouns of these people. So, and I put a note on there. It's not important. It just again, this is just so this will kind of jump out at you. I put a note on there not to mark the references to Moses in the first two verses. And the reason for that is because those are just explanatory at that point. They're just saying, you know, that Moses was the servant of the Lord. So that's not who he's really talking to at this point. So that's why I just said we can exclude that at this time. So we see that this charge to Joshua. So in verse 1, I'm just going to go over some of the, you'll see here, I kind of had it in red is what I chose for the words about the Lord, and then in green were the other ones who he was talking to. But if you highlight it, it should look something similar to that. And the reason why I wanted to do that, if at least on mine, the way I've highlighted it, when I look at it in red, basically it says this: the Lord spoke, saying, "Arise, cross this Jordan to the land which I am giving to." And then when you look at the who the two is, then it'll bring out this idea. Of course, he was saying this to Joshua, but it's saying that to you, Joshua, to all this people, to them, the sons of Israel. So we see this idea of what this can kind of bring out. So we see this where Joshua is being commissioned to lead these people to this land which the Lord is going to give them. Any comments or thoughts on that before we go any further? Okay. So, we just said, or we just looked at, who is he giving the land to? In verse 1, talking to Joshua, again, I'm just bringing this out, what we just looked at. It says, all this people, the sons of Israel. So he wants them to arise and cross this Jordan to the land which he's going to give them. In verse 3, it says, every place on which your sole of your foot treads, I have given to you, Joshua, just as I spoke to Moses. And then he continues in verse 4, says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and as far as the great sea towards the setting of the sun, will be your territory. In verse 5, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. So God paraphrasing, he's saying, Joshua, I'm with you, just as I was with Moses. You know, so think about that. Would Joshua, we kind of looked in the last class, would Joshua understand how the Lord was with Moses? Yes, okay. So he would understand this, how the Lord was with Moses. He was a servant of Moses since youth, or a young man, which we know that doesn't always mean as young as what we're envisioning when we say that. So as far as his age, I don't know. Again, have to get that bucket out. But I don't know his actual age. But he's referred to as a young man, and it's kind of implied in the different verses we looked at the last class, that, you know, so he's been the servant of Moses for some time. So he's seen what Moses has dealt with. He's seen how, you know, how the people can be. And so he is very familiar with that. So think about that, the weight that might bring upon him, the responsibility, like we've already seen, we know he's the leader, but still this weight that might be upon him just because he's seen how the people could be, he realizes what kind of task that this is. And that it might not be something easy. So, after the statement in verse 5, we have verse 6. Let's look at the second half of verse 5 first. It says, when God was saying, he says, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. And then he starts off verse 6. He says, be strong and courageous. For you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. So just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you and will not forsake you. Be strong and courageous. You know, I looked up this word, be strong and courageous. And I put some of the references where it's used on the class material. It's not limited to that. I only reference these because they had something to do with Joshua, or actually in the book of Joshua. And one thing, when we look at those, because they weren't all speaking to Joshua, we can see, or we need to kind of see who was speaking and who they were speaking to. But this term, it was used 13 times, at least when the way I looked it up. I got 13 different hits, if you will, when this was used. Out of 7 of those times, they had to do with Joshua or were in the book. And 4 of those times are in this very chapter that we're looking at. So, and we're going to look at these first 3 that are coupled in verses 6 through 9. The last one is in verse 18, which we'll look at in a little bit. But it's not always God using this term. It will be in verses 6 through 9. But in the other references, it's not always God using the term. But when I was looking at the examples of what was being said, all the times that it is used is because of the fact that God is with somebody. Whoever they were speaking to at the time when they were saying, when they're telling them to be strong and courageous, whoever it is speaking to these other people, it's because God is with them. So be strong and be courageous. Have faith in him. He's trustworthy. He's able. So these are things to draw out, to consider. Now, as I said in verses 6 or 9, it is God speaking in this example. God is telling Joshua, be strong and courageous. So let's start in verse 6. Says, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Is that a reason to be strong and courageous? I mean, that statement that it ends with, God tells him, I am with you wherever you go. Now we see in verses 7 and 8 it has some stipulations on that, and we will understand that more when we look at what happened in Ai. But God is with him. There's a reason to be strong and courageous. And by bringing this out where it says be strong and courageous, it's not Joshua's lack of confidence in the Lord. I mean, think of what he's seen. You know, again, he's been with Moses. He's seen things that prove who God is. So that's not the problem. That's not the problem. It's not his faith in God's ability. But again, there's some things that might deter him. So God says, hey, you be strong and courageous. And I haven't chosen to do so in this class, but again, the way that I've looked at some of our time, I think we might have a couple of classes at the end February. So I'm probably going to use that time to look up or to consider certain things, and one of them will be this being strong and courageous, how we can put some application to that. But I didn't choose to handle that within this class. So if that was what you were thinking, I plan on getting to that. I hope we have time to be able to do that. Yes, sir, Craig.
Yeah, otherwise, that's true that God's word doesn't fail.
Right. Yes.
You were talking about the fact that Joshua had seen all of those things happen because he had been in the sermon of Moses. And you were also talking about the other places where strong and courageous comes up. Well, some of the first times we read about that is in Deuteronomy 31 when he's commissioned. And it is in that context that God tells Joshua and Moses at that point, people will fall away because they're going to abandon the covenant. That's one of the reasons why he says you're going to teach them the song in 32 so that they have a witness. But leaving the covenant is the danger that is before Joshua immediately. That is why God says what he does about being strong and courageous, not going to be with you. He has seen the way these people keep the covenant, which is they don't.
Right.
He's been told the way that they're going to keep the covenant in the future, which is they won't. But God is going to be with him, and therefore he needs to remain strong and keep the covenant.
Good point. Thank you, Jeremy. Any other thoughts or comments? Appreciate y'all's comments. So in verse, well, let's look at, we'll look at verse 7. And, you know, like we said, well, in here it says, be strong and very courageous. And then this is right before he's pretty much giving some warning. It says, be careful to do. You know, so be careful to do according to all the law which my servant Moses commanded you. Don't turn from it, from to the left or to the right. And so that you may have success wherever you may go. I put on here, on your material, in verses 7 through 9, I just stated the question, how will Joshua have success according to these verses? Okay, by following the law of God. So, if we do that, now of course we're talking to them, but it applies to us as well. If we follow the law of God, we're going to have success. And I don't mean we're not going to get into the way. I'm sure it's used in some of the wrong way in that way. When it doesn't mean by following God you're going to be rich or anything like that. Not monetary riches anyway. But there will be riches. So that is something we can think about too. So he's warned here that they are to follow God. And when we get into some of these other chapters, especially coming soon, talking about AI, we're going to see where they didn't, or they didn't do what was asked. And I say they, but it's Achan, but then it still applies to others, and we'll see that as well. But they didn't have success then. And there was a reason behind that. It was because of their sin. And like I said, we'll look more of that in that class, but we can see some of what it's talking about now as far as, you know, in order to have success, they're going to have to follow God's will. And that's true today. You know, God expects us to do as he said. That's not necessarily going to be an easy task, but that's what he expects. So we see some of this stuff that's building up. It's building up to some of the things, like Jeremy said, that, I mean, they're going to fail. And so we're going to see where it leads to in this issue, this problem they have. So basically in verses 7 through 9, that's kind of just the thought I had on there. So he's warning them to be careful. You know, because that's how it starts off. Be very courageous, but be careful. Do according to all the law which I have commanded. Well, commanded you, and that my servant Moses had commanded. And again, I'm just going to keep on going. So if y'all have any questions or thoughts or something, just get my attention. But if not, then I'm moving on. Okay. So now we'll get into another part of it, what we called section 2 or what, if you want, but where it's kind of changing. So this is where Joshua starts commanding the people. Or his charge to the people. In verse 10, it says, then, you know, know, this is after what we just looked at, after he was told to be strong and courageous, I'm with you. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the midst of the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess it. So Joshua, he commands the officers, and they therefore go and command the people. They're told to prepare, because in 3 days, you're going to go cross this Jordan. So, and, you know, you're crossing this Jordan so that you'll be able to possess this land that the Lord is giving to you. That also stated in verse 12 some others that this would include. It said, and to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God gives you rest and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan, but you shall cross before your brothers in battle array, all your valiant warriors, and you shall help them. Until the Lord gives your brothers rest, and he gives you, and they also possess the land which the Lord your God has given them, then you shall return to your own land and possess that land which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise. So we see here that it was also including this, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. We can turn over to Numbers. In Numbers 32:20, and this, just to give a little background, we can, we'll read 32:20-22. Says that Moses said to them, if you will do this, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for war, and all of you armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord, until he has driven his enemies out from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterward you shall return and be free of obligation towards the Lord and toward Israel. And this land shall be yours for a possession before the Lord. But if you will not do so, behold, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. And that's something we don't want to hear, verse 23. So definitely they were encouraged to go across and help their brothers, which they did. And let's go back to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua 1, we'll look at verse 16. Now we come to a section, you know, because we said at first that in verses 1 through 9, we saw that God was charging Joshua. And then he charged the people in verses 10 through 15. And now this last little section in 16 through 18, we're going to see their response. So the people's pledge in verse 16, it says, and they answered Joshua, saying, all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. So, we see these people, their pledge. And we see that they say, yes, we will follow you. We will be with you. And that we recognize that the Lord is with you like he was with Moses. We're going to follow you, Joshua. And then when they get to verse 18, well, there's a couple of things I want to look at, but it says, and this is the people stating this, anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. So, to me, that statement says, or at least it's, they're trying to say, hey, we're going to follow you, and we mean it. You know, if we don't do what you command, then put us to death. So that's their commitment, if you will. I think that shows that at least in their mind, they're planning on following him, but as we'll see and as we've already stated, they're going to have problems doing that. And not only that, we see again our term, only be strong and courageous. So at this point, you know, verses 6 through 9, this was God telling Joshua, be strong and courageous. Now, at the very end of this, we have the people, and they're saying, Joshua, we know the Lord is with you just like he was with Moses. We're going to follow you. We're going to do as you say. But then it says, only be strong and courageous. So they're telling Joshua to be strong and courageous. And I think that's because of basically what we see in verse 17, but because of a realization that God is with him, just like God was with Moses. And so they're saying, we see this. So Joshua, be strong and courageous in what you have to do. You command us, we're going to do it. Again, this is their pledge, not necessarily what takes place, but this is what they say that they're going to do. And what we're going to see too when I say they. Especially when we get into the part about AI, we're going to see how that sin is considered, if you will. And we'll look at it more, but when they sinned, really it was one who sinned. But they all failed in their task because of that. And the Lord talks about it being the people, but it was really one. But then we see how it was broken down from whose tribe it was and what takes place, and basically Achan and his family and his belongings, that was destroyed because of that. But but we see also how it was stated that it was because of the people's sin. That's why they had the problem at first with that battle. So, you know, just considering that when these people say, we're going to follow you, I believe they meant that, and even with their statement, you know, put us to death if we don't obey. I think that's what they're trying to say when they say that. Do you have a comment, Jeremy?
Well, I think that we actually can see that they were pretty. First of all, this is a different generation than the previous. This is people who had grown up in the desert, literally living by God's commands. The people did. He was killed.
Mm-hmm.
The people agreed. They did everything they said to do to Joshua. Yeah. The man failed, and they killed him for it.
Yeah.
But second of all, and I don't get ahead of your class, but in Judges, one of the first things we notice is that not only were the people faithful during Joshua's day, but all the elders who survived Joshua. So this seriousness, keeping this, they did, I think, do that fairly well.
Okay. Yeah, and that's what I'm trying to bring out. It shows that they're wanting to do this. And like we will see in with AI, I mean, basically this is one person. But it brought judgment on more than just one person. So, you know, that I think an important point. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Yes, sir.
It depends on where you put the punctuation mark, quotation mark.
Okay.
At the end of verse 15, you'll note that the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version, puts a quotation mark, or that the translators do it then. In other words, at the end of the Reubenites and Gadites speaking, if they're correct, the King James Version does not put a and they answered that it's written out together. But if you put it at the end of the quotation mark, that they can go back to the word people, back up in verse 10 and 11, command the people, verse 11. So he commanded the people, and then here's this special issue with the Reubenites and Gadites. Then when you get down to verse 16, they answered, they who the people, because these people said that, I don't know how Joshua that would give me any comfort to go to sleep that night. Back in the book of Exodus, he was also a servant of Moses, and at Mount Sinai, after they heard the voice of God on the mountain, and then they took the book of the covenant and sprinkled, sat ratifying that covenant, the people said, determines leadership of whether the people pledge to follow or not. God said, I'll be with you. What does that mean? He tells you in verse 5 exactly what that means. I will not fail you or forsake you. That is, if you do what I tell you. And will the people fail you or forsake you? They may. And we'll never be worthy leaders if we're depending upon the people. They may or may not follow. And so, a good lesson for leadership, that you put your confidence in me, God said, I will fail you. The people might fail you. That's not the determination. Whether or not you can be a leader. When I was in West Texas, we were facing an issue because the quote-unquote elder didn't like the fact that I was preaching to the denomination that was giving them trouble. And things were turning sour, so I went and talked to some preachers about what I was doing, make sure I was not missing something what I was doing. So there was an old soldier of the cross, an old gospel preacher. And I met him. I said, what about this? I said, there's several families that said they'll stand with me, stand behind me. Oh, he said they will, but they'll be so far behind you, you won't be able to find them. And he was right, one family.
Wow.
You can't let that determine whether or not you do your work for the Lord.
Good comments. Thank you all. It looks like Neil's about to buzz me out. One quick comment, Josh.
It just reminded of that of the parable Jesus told. The two sons, the one said, I will, and didn't go do it. The one said, I won't, regretted it, and then went and did. Which of the two did the will of his father, and the one who ultimately did the task. And that's what we're called doing.
Well, thank you all. I have class mature, I believe, I'll double check. We should have class 2 out there if you haven't picked that up. If not, I'll make some more copies. And then I'll have some more mature all put out soon as well.